today on Building on the Solid Rock with Pastor Troy Neely.
This is what can happen to church, to the gospel, if we begin to become like the culture, like the world, to make it feel more comfortable, more palatable for them. That one day, with all of our heart, we're waving it, we're doing it, but we're so far removed from the truth that though we cause someone to slow down a little bit, it doesn't save anyone.
Deeper and deeper, deeper and deeper, deeper and deeper, I want to know you.
Pastor Troy shares a story in today's message of a red flag that had slowly faded to a yellow color. We all know that yellow means to proceed with caution. Sadly, like that flag, there's a feel-good gospel being preached these days that instead of stopping people in their tracks like a red flag and calling them to repentance, they're encouraged to just slow down in their sinful choices. Now, make sure and stay with us after Pastor Troy's message. I want to share our contact information with you, as well as how you can receive a free copy of this broadcast. Now, here's Pastor Troy in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 15, with today's message entitled, The Relevance of Truth.
The religious leaders would condemn you for not washing your hands the right way, and for not praying at the right time of the day, perhaps not using the King James English. Actually, they didn't have the King James back then. That was a knock on the King James only mentality that's still out there in the world. But these things did absolutely nothing to change a person's heart. See, the things that God does, they seem to penetrate the heart. They have nothing to do with, well, that guy can do it. Whether that guy can do it or not, it's not the point. The point is, I'm dealing with your heart. See, you won't do this because there's something in your heart. There's something you're holding on to. I can't have this. And it's evident by your making excuses, by your saying no, by your holding on for all it's worth. So, God works on the heart, but man works on the actions. God works on what we are to be. Men tell you what you need to do. God's concerned with character. And Jesus' message with them is, your spirituality, your outward observance of traditions, is a stumbling block to the people and an offense to God. And it's not working on their hearts. The disciples tell Jesus that the Pharisees were offended at this. They didn't really like what you said about them, Jesus. And Jesus responds with the idea, do you remember that parable, the wheat and the tares, that he told not too long ago? He basically alludes to that. Says, look, they're not planted of my Father. Let them go. They're blind leaders. And the people who follow them, they're caught up in the blindness as well. That's why they're following them. They're not questioning things. They just go, sounds good to me. I like it. And that thing that's in my heart that I had to wrestle with, well, I don't have to wrestle with that so much here because all I got to do is, well, be here, conform to them. And I'm okay. It's easy to follow rules. But God, He likes to work on people different. Because He likes to take the thing that you're holding on to in your heart and to deal with it. And He likes to take the thing that you're dealing with in your heart and challenge you. But this is what I've always done. This is what I've been taught. This is what I heard on the radio. Just, I know these people say this thing is okay. I know they say that it's all right. But this is what I want for you. And God's dealing with your heart. The truth causes us to grow spiritually. The truth is a discerner of our thoughts and intentions. It pierces us. But so many of us are willing to just jump in and go wherever someone takes us. It reminds me of a story of a reporter that was called upon to report on some of the wildfires going on in the West. And so he was briefed. He was told where he could go. Go to the airport on this end. There'll be a little Cessna waiting for you. Get in there. The guy will take you and he'll fly you over the fires. Just tell him where you want to fly and he'll take you and you can take your shots and get your report. So the guy goes. He goes to the airport, sees a little Cessna there just like he heard. He jumps in and says, "Let's go. I'm ready. Take off. Take her up." So they get off. They're up in the air. The guy says, "I want you to pass down," and he tells him exactly, "I want you to get low, I want to get a good shot, look at that fire." And the pilot says, "Well, what do you want to do that for?" He says, "What do you mean, what do I want to do that for? Didn't they tell you? I'm the reporter, I'm supposed to go in, we need to get a good shot, and they told me you're the guy." And the guy that was flying looks at it and goes, "You mean you're not my pilot instructor?" This guy was waiting for his pilot instructor. Miscommunication. Got in and just took off with him. But this guy, well, neither of them could help each other out. So often, we come into the front doors of a church, we turn on the TV, we flip on the radio, and we get into a plane with somebody who maybe that day, they're talking about what they think. Maybe that day they're just venting, getting angry, and you don't know any more about the Lord or how much you can trust in His truth. Jesus said that a servant will be like his master. A student will be like his teacher. That we need to be very careful who we're listening to, who we're looking to, who we're following. The disciples have a great teacher, and so they ask their teacher, Jesus, for clarification. Verse 15, "Then Peter answered and said to him, 'Explain this parable to us.' So Jesus said, 'Are you also still without understanding?'" This "also" and "still" are both there. Here's what he's saying. Are you also, like them, confused, but also still? Are you still confused? Because I've explained the parables. You've been with me. So are you among them and still you're confused? You don't get the message? Jesus is concerned because these guys, they've been with him for a while and it's not sinking in. And these guys who are following him are going to be the foundation of the church. The church is going to be built on them. He says, "Guys, I need you to start getting this." Now, of course, they're going to get it. Oh, they're going to get it. They're going to live it out. They're going to watch their master crucified, die, and be resurrected. They're going to get it. They're going to go through hard things to get it. But at this point, he's like, "Can't you get it?" Well, so often Jesus is like, "Where's your faith, guys?" He says to his disciples, "Where's your faith?" Here's this woman. Next week, we'll look at a woman. Actually, in 2 weeks, we'll be looking at a woman who comes and begs Jesus. And she says, "This is great. Oh, you have great faith." There was a Roman centurion, not even a Jew. Either of these were Jews. "I've not seen such great faith," he says. But to his own followers, he says, "Don't you get it? You can't understand? Where is your faith?" If you ever known someone, you would think they should know better. They've been a Christian a long time. They've been going to church a long time. And I just don't see the effects of that in their life. Their life's out of order. There's something wrong with their decision making. God is not first. They're looking like the world. It doesn't matter if they grew up in church or if they were a pastor's kid or even if they went off to some Bible college. I have seen people that I thought they should know better. They should know better and they don't. And I don't get it. Here's one reason why. It's because these things, growing up in the church, being a pastor's kid, going off to Bible college, these things don't cause you to grow. They can help you grow, for sure, but it's really an issue of the heart. You can go through everything spiritual, everything godly, every Bible institute, sit under the greatest teacher. But it's still a matter of a person's heart. That relationship with Jesus Christ. See, the Christian life is not about what you do. It's about who you are. Now, what you do will be a result of who you are, what's going on inside. But you can't put the doing before the being. We are called to be Christians. First and foremost, I teach my kids. My kids, they're in here right now, so they'll hear it now, but I don't tell them, you know, you have to behave because I'm a pastor. Because that's false. That's wrong. I mean, it's true. I am a pastor. But that's the false reason for them to behave and to do good. The reason they ought to do good is Jesus is good. We follow Him. We love Him. The Christian call is a higher call than the pastoral call. The pastoral call is just a service. It's a role in the church. But to be a Christian, that's the greatest call. To be a follower of Jesus, there is no call greater than that. That He would say, follow me. Now that puts us all on the same plane, on the same level. Now you're not accountable for studying the Bible and teaching it and being accurate and rightly representing the Lord as I am. It's a great responsibility. Again, the Scripture says, don't presume to be a teacher. Because you'll be held to a stricter judgment. Not everyone has that same judgment. We all don't have that same call. But we are all called to follow Christ. And whatever role He's given you, you are to represent Him rightly in that role, in those responsibilities He's given you. And I'll tell you, and I've said this many times, but I am fearful in the pulpit. Fearful almost to a fault. I am still trying to wrestle through being myself up here and not misrepresenting the Lord up here. It's very hard for me still to find that balance, because I could come up here and just kind of, you know, have fun. But I would hate for you to become like me and not like Christ. And so I want to try to set the standards a little higher than that. I'm learning to be myself up here. But the truth, well, it protects you. It protects your heart. The Christian life is about who you are inside. And eventually that will come out. You know, when someone cusses or tells coarse jokes, that's inside them. When someone will stand there and rather than walking away, will listen to coarse jokes, that's inside them. When someone begins to, because Justin Bieber gets popular, all of a sudden someone begins to look like Justin Bieber. I know we're probably all past Justin Bieber, but that's all I know right now. I'm a pastor. I don't know much about the world. I'm always about a year or two behind. So when someone begins to look like the latest star, the latest musician, or when they begin to reflect the current cultural trends in the world, that is what's on the inside of that person. There's something that's inside them that's causing them to reflect that. How do these things get into their heart? How do these things get inside? We let it in. We let it in. The truth, when you let it in, protects your heart. What you take into your heart is more important than what you eat and what you drink. More important than doing any religious service. Matthew 6, verse 22 and 23 says, "The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. Therefore, if therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness?" The point here is that whatever you set your eyes on, whatever you seek to follow, whatever you want, that's going to influence what you become. Garbage in, garbage out. Well, my dad's with the Lord now. I love my dad with all my heart. He had his own issues. My dad, one of the things that he wanted, one time we read through Nehemiah, or he read through Nehemiah, and he saw that Nehemiah was so upset at the people for intermarrying again after the captivity that he started pulling out their hair and throwing around and slapping them. You know, what's wrong with you guys? And my dad said, there's my ministry. I have found in the scriptures my ministry. My heart is for that ministry. See, now there is no Nehemiah ministry. Now some of you may think, there it is, there's my calling. Do they have that ministry? No, we don't. But my dad, he followed the Lord. He loved the Lord. But there was some wrong thinking even in him, as great as he'd become. Now, how did that wrong thinking get there? Well, my dad loved to watch the Dirty Harry movies. I don't know if you guys know who Dirty Harry is, but he was kind of, I'm going to take it out myself. I'm going to get my own vengeance and go ahead, punk. Make my day. Make me shoot the gun. You know, that's Dirty Harry. I'm sure my dad may have practiced that line a few times in the mirror. You know, I'm going to be an usher. Go ahead, punk. Don't take the bulletin. Don't take the bulletin. I don't know. But that was my dad. That was in him. And sometimes it came out of him. Garbage in, garbage out. And it takes a long time to get the things of the world out of us. A long time. And it takes soap. What if we tell our kids, you know, don't just get in to get wet. You got to use shampoo. We need soap. What soap? Well, we need the Word of God. It's the water that cleanses. We need to take it in. Because the truth of God will protect us. Proverbs 4:23 says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. We are called to guard our hearts, that which we take in, because it will affect us. Pouring the truth in causes us to become sensitive again to sin and to worldliness. You don't realize it, but if you don't get in your scriptures and you stay away from the church, I'm not saying try this, but if you get away from God's word and God's people for a time, you will find yourself gravitating so that when you come back into God's house, you'll become more empathetic with the world. Oh, you know, this isn't wrong. This isn't so bad. We shouldn't be so hard on. That's a problem. Because we're not called to hate the world, but we are called to be a light. And we cannot become like them. We need to guard our hearts. Psalm 119:11 says, your word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. Let me sum this up for you. Jesus is saying, these guys are doing a great job looking religious, sounding spiritual. They may even make a lot of sense to you. But on the inside, and by their leading, they're not even taking you close to the heart of God. So don't follow them. Don't follow them. Here's the biggest reason that truth is relevant today. It saves you. It doesn't just make you feel comfortable and loved. It saves you. Not every salvation experience, and I'm not talking the church, I mean in the world, is comfortable. Sometimes when someone falls into a pit and they're wedged, you're going to have to do more damage to get them out. You're going to have to scrape them up. You're going to have to put something down there that may cut underneath their arms a little bit to get them up. And so sometimes pain is involved in saving someone. It's not always nice and gentle and easy. The truth is very, very important, but the truth saves. Let me read something to you. I had read it before, but it's very, very good. It says, in the early days of the American Railroad and its part in the trade industry, a large locomotive used primarily for freight ran through the Midwest on a daily route. Another smaller passenger train used a section of that same route to transport students to a school. One day, the passenger train had broken down and the mechanics were attempting to repair it. Dozens of students were on board, completely unaware that a large freight train was moving toward them at a rapid speed, because there was a corner you couldn't see around. A flagman had been sent miles down the tracks to warn the freight train. But despite the flagman waving the red flag, the large freight train continued on its course, ultimately colliding with the passenger train, killing everyone on board. The only survivor was the conductor of the freight train, who had jumped off the train just before impact. He was immediately taken into custody and a hearing was held to determine what had happened. The conductor and the flagman's stories contradicted one another. The flagman said he had waved a red flag signaling the train to stop. The conductor said he waved a yellow flag signaling him to proceed, but with caution. The conductor reported that he did slow. Yes, that was true. But by the time that he saw the passenger train, it was too late and the accident was unavoidable. The flagman was instructed to bring the flag that he had used. When he presented the flag, it was clear what had happened. The flag indeed was red, at least it once had been red. The corners of the material clearly demonstrated that. But over time, the flag had faded to a very dull orange, giving the appearance of a yellow flag, creating confusion on the part of the conductor. The flag was waved, but it didn't save anyone. This is what can happen to church, to the gospel, if we begin to become like the culture, like the world, to make it feel more comfortable, more palatable for them. That one day, with all of our heart, we're waving it, we're doing it, but we're so far removed from the truth that though we cause someone to slow down a little bit, it doesn't save anyone. It doesn't lead them to salvation. I do not want to find myself in that place. I pray that you don't want to find yourself in that place. We are called to let our light so shine that they will see our good works, our good deeds, and glorify us, our pastor. No, glorify our Father who is in heaven. They will be able to see Him and to see Him clearly. Instead of pastor says, pastor this, pastor that. I know sometimes pastors say some good things. Hope every now and then there's something I say that you can quote. However, more than knowing me, you ought to know Jesus. You ought to know His truth. Because His truth will transform your life. His truth has the power to save. There's a move away from preaching about the blood of Christ and sin and the need for repentance. There's got to be a turning away. I think we spoke about it last week. You can't just cry out to God, save me, heal me, change my family, and not repent, not turn from some of the things that are wrong, some of the things that are not healthy for you. If you don't do those things, then it's kind of like saying, God, I want this, but not really. Don't spend time trying to package the truth for people. Time is too short. People need the truth, and they need lights to shine. So live your life according to God's word. Let God's word govern you. Align yourself with its truths, then your light will shine. And don't take 15 years to get the truth to somebody. Sometimes you got just a moment. It's time to be direct and real.
Deeper and deeper. Deeper and deeper. Deeper and deeper. I want to know you more.
In this day and age in which we live, it's easy to get distracted by everything that's going on around us. The hustle and bustle of life tends to keep us from the things that are truly important as followers of Christ. While there's simply no substitute for the personal reading of God's Word, programs like Building on the Solid Rock are a huge blessing that God uses in the discipleship of countless people. Building on the Solid Rock is the radio ministry of Pastor Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel Solid Rock in San Antonio, Texas. For more information about our ministry or to access the archive of messages, log on to our website at www.buildingonthesolidrock.com. You can subscribe to our podcast while you're there or search for us in the iTunes store. Use Calvary Chapel Solid Rock as you search. It's absolutely free. Well, that's all the time we have for today. Thank you for joining us. We invite you to join us again next time as we continue our verse-by-verse study through the Gospel of Matthew. That's next time on Building on the Solid Rock.
And I look up and see the hand that I turned from when the storm began, and it comes.